is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to The Gardening Show on WESB, B107.5 FM. We are on Facebook Live as well, so check out facebook.com/WESB1075. And of course, the phone lines are always open at 368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. Dan Griffin in once again for Ann Holiday. She returns next week. And with us, as always, is the master gardener himself, Mr. Bob Harris.
Good morning, Dan.
Well, good morning. What's on the schedule today?
Well, I want to talk about what us as gardeners should be doing in our yard right now. So I'll start with the lawn. This is a good time now to lower the lawnmower if we've been cutting our lawns, and we should have been, at 2.5 to 3 inches tall. Now's the time to start lowering it. It makes for a much easier fall cleanup, and it helps prevent some of the diseases that can occur with the snow buildup. Geez, I hate saying that, but you know, it's that time. We got to talk about it.
Yeah, diseases that snow can bring. What do you mean by that?
If you have a tall lawn, the snow can accumulate, bend the lawn down to where it touches the soil. And just like any plant, you know, that I've talked about, if a leaf blade touches the soil has lots of pathogens in it, fungal, bacterial. So it can get into the plant that way and start to do harm. And that goes with your lawn, too. So if you have a tall lawn going into a period when the snow builds up, presses that leaf down, and it usually what around here we get what we call snow mold disease.
Yikes.
Now your lawn will recover from it, but it can be a little rough looking in the spring. So we cut our lawn a little shorter this time of year. Well, let me back up just a little bit, because your lawn is an evergreen. It never goes into a dormant stage during the winter. It goes into a dormant stage during the heat of the summer, but not in the winter. So it continues to live and even grow a slight amount through the winter. So it's important that we care for it through the winter. So cutting it short helps protect it from getting bent over and getting disease that way.
Maybe your grass is evergreen. Mine's a sometimes brown. Mine's a sometimes brown.
Well, parts of mine are, too. And I'll talk about that. Last year, I had to have a large maple tree taken down, a very large maple tree. And, of course, underneath that maple tree was all shade. I'm talking about this because other people may come across this.
Yeah.
Was all shade loving grass, and of course now that I've removed that maple tree, it's a large brown area, very large brown area, because all that shade grass didn't like all this sun. Now over the next couple of years, the sun loving grass is going to come in and take over, and I'm probably going to throw a little seed on it right around now to help green it up quicker. But that can happen. We have sun-loving grass and shade-loving grass in our area. So sometimes when you make a change in the landscape, you'll see that difference in the grass. But lowering that mower can be important. And also with the mower, sharpening the blades, cleaning out underneath, you know, that's important, not just for sanitation, but underneath the mower, they're all designed to create a turbulence, to lift the grass up so that the blade can cut it off. Now, if you never clean underneath the mower, you've probably disrupted that turbulence. So quite often when you mow over, it may just push down on your grass, flatten it, and you don't get a real good cut. So it is a good idea from time to time to tip the mower over, clean it out, you'll get a lot better effect. And, of course, clean the blades, because a rough cut blade is susceptible to those diseases and fungal problems that we can get. So a nice sharp blade is pretty doggone important. Also in the lawn, this is a great time to kill a lot of those summer weeds. We have two sets of weeds in this area. We have the spring weeds, mostly the dandelion that we all like, and then the summer weeds. And a lot of the summer weeds are the creeping charlie and quack grass and crab grass, all of those.
Oh.
And the only time you can kill them is during their season. And, of course, the summer weed season is now, and it's a good idea to not let those weeds flower and start to make seed, because then that will just increase the problem for next year. And, of course, that sounds kind of contradictory, because I mentioned quack grass and crab grass. They grow horizontally. They don't grow upright.
Mm.
So they're very short. So that's one of the reasons also that we lower the mower to try to knock off those flowering heads before they can set seed and spread. A crabgrass plant can produce 1,000 seeds. So we don't want to increase the problem a whole lot. But killing them off this time of year is a good idea. One of my favorite, and I'm not advertising for them, but I like to use Weed Be Gone. You can mix it up in your liquid sprayer. Pump up sprayer, and just walk around and spray where you see them. Just a mist on it. You don't have to soak the plant, because that's just wasting the chemical. Just have to get a few droplets on. So adjust your sprayer so that it's not putting out a stream.
A fine mist.
Fine mist.
Yeah.
But not too fine to where it just floats around in the air, because then it can get on some of your other plants.
Mm.
It is a good idea to get rid of those weeds, and in my opinion, I know a lot of people are worried about pollinators. I grow flower gardens and vegetable gardens and flowering trees and shrubs for all the pollinators. But the lawn can harbor, through those weeds, can harbor a lot of pests and diseases that can affect the plants that that I cherish.
Mm.
So I like to keep a weed-free lawn. And now, if you don't, that's fine too. You know, if you like a lot of clover and weeds in your lawn for the pollinators, that's fine. I'll never fault you for that. But in my yard, I do the opposite. Maybe because I'm a little old fashioned.
Well, I bet your neighbors really enjoy you having you as a neighbor. You know,
never thought of that.
It's like hitting the lottery, getting Bob Harris as your neighbor.
Also, a good time, if you've had your houseplants outdoors, you're going to start bringing them in, because we are going to have some cool nights now. First, you have to really give them a good inspection before you bring them in. There probably is some insect pest on them. And once we bring it in the house, of course, that's an environment that even encourages that insect population to increase rapidly. So we want to inspect them really closely before we bring them in, and treat them if we do feel there's insects on there. Now, my favorite way is with a white sheet of paper, and hold it under the foliage of the plant, tap on the top of the leaves, kind of hard, tap on them. That will dislodge insects if they're there. And then on the white piece of paper, because a lot of those insects will be the size of a speck of dust, will dislodge onto that paper. And then you can watch that paper. Careful you don't breathe on it, because you'll blow them away. Watch that piece of paper. And if you see little dust particles moving, that will be a sign of insect. Now, if you only see a dozen or less, that's no big deal. That's going to happen no matter what you do. If you start to see more than a dozen, though, then you probably should take action. And the first action will be a blast of water. Most of those insects are easily to dislodge, we call it, or spray them with water right off the plant. And that can take care of it. Another one is a little bit of soapy water. Not all houseplants like soapy water, but most of them do accept that. That soap, of course, smothers the insects, so that gets rid of them that way. I even like to put a little soapy water right in the soil, so if there's any insects in the soil in another stage of their life, that will take care of them there, too.
What kind of soap would you recommend? Just like Dawn dish soap?
Or? Yeah, liquid Dawn dish soap.
Okay. I didn't know, like, because some people say, like, baby shampoo or something.
Oh. Yeah, that probably worked, too.
I've heard some, you know.
But the liquid Dawn is a real effective one.
That's a tried and true from the Master Gardener.
Yeah.
Okay. I just lost your train of thought. Sorry about that. Hey,
no problem.
Now's a good time to give away the phone number here.
Okay.
368-WESB. That's 368-9372. If you have a question for Bob, let us know. Give us a call in.
So that blast of water, first, a little soap mixed with water. Second, spray it on. Third, another way that has become very popular and that I really recommend highly is mixing a little hydrogen peroxide in water. And, you know, in a little tiny spray bottle, let's say 8-ounce spray bottle, that's going to mean 3, 4, 5 tablespoons, doesn't have to be exact, of hydrogen peroxide mixed with water. Spray that on. What hydrogen peroxide is liquid oxygen, and that makes the plant healthier, but disrupts the insects a great deal.
Wow.
So it helps destroy them. And if there is any diseases or fungal diseases in the soil, I'll even dump some of that right in the soil. That good blast of liquid oxygen helps fight off those things, too. So that's become very popular. A lot of rose growers will start to do it once a week, even on their roses. We got a call, Dan.
Oh, we do. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones here. Good morning. You're on the air on the gardening show.
Yes. Hi. We have an azalea plant, and it's doing pretty well this year. We're at a higher elevation. Should we cover that, and with what?
Okay. If you feel it's in a really windy area where the dry winter winds can dry out the buds, because it's already set as flower buds for next year, then it's a good idea to cover it. But if it's protected, like up against a house or a fence or some kind of structure, there's no need to cover it then. As a matter of fact, sometimes a covering can cause a problem by making it a nice area for insects to survive the winter or little mice to make their little home there and chew on the parts of the plant.
What type of material should we cover it with we do that?
Burlap is excellent because it has that kind of weave that lets air go in and out, even lets some light in. Burlap is the one I highly recommend.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye.
Take care. All right. 368-WESB. That's 368-9372 to get your question to Bob.
She brought up an interesting point. She mentioned the azalea and the higher elevation because it is a high elevation plant along with the rhododendron. They're both closely related. But we can grow them fine down here downtown too because the whole area really is a high elevation.
Mm.
That's a good point, though. I like that she brought that up. Another thing that we want to do is maybe do some touch-up pruning to protect our plants in the winter from a snow load or an ice load. So any of those long, thin branches, we may want to think about cutting back. We can't really do any damage this time of year. All the plants are preparing for winter. So it's a good time to prune. It's a real good, safe time to prune. There's not a lot of pathogens in the air like there was right through the summer. With the heat and humidity, a lot of the fungal and bacterial and viral diseases seem to like that time of year. But now we're into the cool, so all those things are almost non-existent.
You know, I was wondering about that prune again, like my shrubs, bushes, whatever. Is there a difference between a shrub and a bush?
No. No, okay. There's no difference.
Thank you.
No.
Like, I want to use the proper terminology
yeah.
in front of the Master Gardener. I noticed they've grown a lot more after I originally trimmed them up at the beginning of the season this year, more than other seasons for some reason.
That may have been the timing. Certain
okay.
plants go through growth spurts, and like the evergreen,
yeah.
It usually has a growth spurt in the spring, and then it'll have another growth spurt late summer. And then and in between, it really doesn't grow a whole lot.
But, okay, so I don't have to wait till the spring to cut them back again?
You don't have to, no.
Okay.
No. It's, in matter of fact, it's a good idea to do some fall pruning on really most of the plants to help protect them. And like I said, it's a good safe time. There's not many pathogens out there that can get into an open wound. And we don't want to, when we do cut, we don't want to try to protect those wounds. We want them to air dry, just like me and you. You know, if I have a cut on my finger, I put a Band-Aid on, it takes a week to heal. If I don't put anything on but keep it clean, it only takes a few days to heal. Same way with plants.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
And it's the Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris, sponsored by Worth W. Smith Hardware. Back in a minute on B107.5 FM.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. If it's time to seal your driveway, you'll find sealant, brushes, squeegees, everything you need for the job. They have a huge supply of railroad ties for your lawn and garden projects, leaf blowers in gas, battery, and corded electric models, and a brand new line of cordless Makita tools with interchangeable batteries. Your friends at Worth W. Smith hope you're staying safe and remind you to wear a mask, wash your hands, and observe social distancing whenever possible.
And welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. The phone lines are always open for you at 368-WESB, 368-9372. And we are on Facebook Live, so make sure to check us out there. And that's facebook.com/WESB1075. No show until this week, but a lot of great information. And Bob, take it away. What else do you have for us today?
Yeah. Also, this time of year is a great time to plant a tree, shrub, or a perennial. And why I say that is because those plants are going into their dormant season, so they have very few demands on you. Most of the time, they're not actively growing. They're not trying to produce flowers and seeds. So their demand is real low, and they're ready to go to sleep anyhow. So plant a tree or shrub or perennial this time of year. And quite often, what I've found through the years is we can basically plant them, give them a couple good waterings, and then leave them alone for the rest of the year, especially once a frost comes in. Then our care is done until next year. Now, you know, comparing that to planting one in the spring, we may have to water it quite often, check for bugs all the time, and all kinds of other things we got to look for. This time of year, we don't have to worry about any of those things. So plant it, water it in real well, and if we get that inch of rain or half inch of rain a week, don't bother with it. Let it go. It'll be fine. So again, good time to plant a tree, shrub, or perennial. Also, excellent time to do the mulching. And I like to do that this time of year, especially with a new planted plant. Mulch is not just for looks or to add material to the soil as it composts down. Mulch is also a blanket, protective temperature controller. So what damages the plant in the winter is not the freezing. All plants that we grow around here can withstand a solid freezing. What hurts them is the cycle of freeze and thaw. That causes the cells to continually draw in moisture, swell up more and more till they burst. So that layer of mulch on the soil will help warm the soil, keep it warm for a longer period of time so that the roots can continue to grow. Even when a tree has lost all its leaves due to a frost and so on that time of year, the tree is still actively growing underground, still producing new roots, still collecting nutrients and holding them down there. So the mulch can help that. And then once the soil freezes, the mulch can keep it frozen. So we don't get a freeze-thaw cycle. It'll freeze the soil. The soil stays frozen. That helps protect that plant. So it's real important to if you haven't mulched, now's the time to do it. It's an excellent time. It's really my preferred time to do the mulching.
Now, does that mean that you don't have to do it in the spring then? If you just take care of it now,
it'll
still look good in the spring?
It sure will, yeah. Mulching once a year is probably all you need to do. If it really bothers you early in the spring, and I don't really like to do this because it can cause problems with the cycle, but you can give it a light raking in the spring to freshen it up. Now, you don't want to really do a hard raking, because it has started to develop its layers of composting and then air collecting and letting gases out and so on. So if you rake it real hard and fluff up all the mulch, you've disrupted that cycle. And that can, in the long run, cause problems. You're not going to really see it right away, but it can cause some problems. Each couple inches of soil in your mulch layer is called part of that soil, once you put it down, is what we call rhizosphere. And something important is happening in each inch of rhizosphere. And something different is happening. So when you disturb it, of course, you disturb that balance in nature.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
It goes into a lot more detail than that. And it's fun to
see, it's stuff like that makes me afraid. Like, I don't want to touch and ruin the whole ecosystem of everything's all happy and alive, and I'm going to wreck it all.
But okay, that's a good point, man.
No, I'm
glad you brought. But if you really do want to rough up that whole layer of mulch, that's fine too. Rough it all up and then give it a good soaking with your garden hose, and still everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be perfect, but everything's going to be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. Everything's going to be okay.
That's all.
The plants will be a little angry, but they'll survive.
You know, there's got to be 1,000 different ways of gardening, and not just Bob's way is correct, which I've learned several times over the years.
Don't tell them that.
There are.
You know how many years we've been pumping you up as the master gardener?
There are many, many ways. And each one of our yards has a different environment.
Yeah.
And even within the yard, there's different environments. And so what works for you, I would continue doing. And if you like to rough up the mulch and leave your lawn grow tall and don't kill the weeds, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I accept that. If you do want to be, I better not.
Okay.
pick your, or you want to be like Bob, I guess, then try to get rid of those weeds to safeguard the rest of your landscape. Cut your lawn short in the fall, long in the spring and summer. Do all those things, mulch in the fall. Plant a new tree in the fall.
But see, if you be like Bob, you know what you need? A lot of patience and meticulous, you know.
Gardening will teach you patience. Absolutely. Yeah, everything happens on a much slower scale at that time.
Phone lines are open at 368-WESB. That's 368-9372. We have about 6 minutes left in the show. And what's up next?
Yeah, so I did mention planting a tree. And it's becoming more and more popular. So get the whole family involved, no matter how big the family is. Plant a tree. Pick out a tree that kind of means something to the whole family. Not just a flowering crab apple because we like the flowers. Make it more meaning. Make it this is celebrating another year of the family together, or a birthday, or a new child or dog, or just celebrating life all together. Just so the whole family can watch it grow and say we all did this together, and this is our contribution to the earth, and so on. Go on and on and on. It's a good time, really, to plant a tree or a shrub. You don't have to be a tree if you don't have a big yard. You can plant a shrub or a perennial, even.
So now's a good time for that?
It's an excellent time. My preferred time.
See, because me being a non-gardener expert, I would think, like, oh, okay, well, winter is right around the corner. That's not enough time for the roots to get settled in. And, you know, as soon as that first frost comes, it's going to kill the tree. That's not the case, you're
saying. That's not the case at all. Oh. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite.
Wow.
Yep. The roots will continue, even if a tree has lost all its leaves, the roots will continue to grow.
Even the new plant one.
Okay. Into the winter, till the ground freezes. Then they stop growing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that going dormant is a lot more complicated than we think. You know, once that tree, all the leaves turn color, we think it's dormant, it's gone to sleep. No, not really.
It's only dormant above ground.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And pretty much, yeah. Right. Still, there's activity
there.
Yeah,
yeah. Neat.
Which even brings me to another thing, too. This might be kind of fun for the family. If you can get a stethoscope, you know, that thing the doctor listens to your heart and lungs with.
Yeah.
You can go quiet area. It's hard to where there's traffic and other people.
You're not telling me those plants are whispering secrets to you.
Yes.
What?
Yes. It's kind of fun to put a stethoscope against a tree. Go out on one of the trails or out in the forest where it's really quiet. And you can hear activity in the tree. You can probably hear water moving. It'll be a click, 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 click. That's water moving up and down in the tree. You may hear bugs chewing up in the tree on the leaves and so on. You may hear a bird pecking at the tree. You may hear a squirrel, things you can't see up there even. You may hear a squirrel up there running across the branches. But you can hear through that tree because the tree is really a bunch of tubes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
It is. It's fun to do.
At first, I'm like, oh, boy. All right. Call the nice men with the white coats. Bob's talking to trees. All right. We have a phone call. Hi. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Being on the radio. I've never called before, but I wanted to ask a question about my ornamental Japanese maple tree that I have. It's probably about 25 or 30 years old. It's quite mature. It's very beautiful. But I have some ivy that has decided to grow up the trunk of the tree.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that if I let it grow that I won't be able to see if the tree is in distress or if it would distress the tree. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and I love to see ivy growing up a tree, but here's the exception for me. A Japanese maple is a highly desirable tree. And if you've got a 20-year-old Japanese maple, you've really got a handful of gold, in my opinion. So I wouldn't let the ivy grow up. Others would, but myself, no, because ivy can shade the trunk, cause a little bit of dampness there. And then, yeah, some diseases and insects can hide in that area and cause some problems. Other people have done it with no trouble at all for 100 years. But in my opinion, I wouldn't let ivy grow up a Japanese maple.
Why chance it, right?
Yeah, why chance it?
Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. We have about 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay. And at the same token, you know, I've got an old maple, not a Japanese maple. Boy, I'd love to have one.
Yeah, those are nice.
Growing in my backyard, and I have vines growing up it, but it's an older one, and I feel very confident that it can protect itself, and maybe the vine is even helping protect it from the freeze thaw in the winter. But a Japanese maple again is so desirable that I would do anything I can to protect that. Another point, Dan, if I got 1 minute here.
1 minute, but then we have a question on Facebook as well.
Maybe we'd take the question first.
Okay. Carol wants to say that this is the first year that she's been gardening, and she got a cantaloupe, and it's a little bigger than a softball. Will it get bigger, or is, if you have any suggestions?
If it hasn't started to ripen, you know, by turning that color, that tan, then it will continue to grow. As long as you keep it well watered, and that's a key right there too, because cantaloupe is mostly water. But keep it well watered. If it hasn't started to ripen, if it started to ripen, it's not going to increase in size anymore.
Okay, and that wraps up our time for the gardening show today. You'll be back next week in the return of Ann Holiday.
Yep.
All right, so tune in next week. And that's 8:30 every Saturday morning for the Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. on B107.5 FM. And thanks to our sponsor, Worth W. Smith Hardware. Talk to you next week.